Welcome to the Craft Beer Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
Hey, I'm here, and over on the other side, I guess, is the Pope. I mean, Wells.
I'm doing you're in line. Lot better than the Pope's doing.
Well, but you're in line to be next, right? Isn't that what I heard?
I actively don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
No, you don't?
Bad information. Sorry. Better sources than that.
Cool story, bro.
What's been going on, Jones?
Got a new keg. It was a fun day. It's been a while since I've had a keg, and Josh and I know you and I have been talking about it, and Divine Barrel put out did it all
especially
for the Wookiee
economy.
Right, yeah, and so Wookiee came back out, and was at my at the Buzz, and Grant was like, "Hey, you know, it's coming out. I'm not getting any cans, but get a keg if you want one." And I'm like, "You know, I think that's a good idea. I'll try to dial back some of my can purchases a little bit," which is a weird sort of like cannibalism of his own business, but here we are.
Right. So you get into anything else, Jeff?
No, not yet. May is going to be, well, yeah, May should, I'll have more fun stuff to talk about, I think.
Okay. Cool. Mr. Wells?
I mean, I went to the Vale for their anniversary party this past weekend. And
how was that?
Drank. really good. My parents were in town. So, of course, them being the barrel-aged stout lovers that they are, I had to, you know, like, hey, let's swing by the Vale. They've got the cure for what ails you. And I just wish I could have stuck around a little bit longer. But then again, my parents like to go do other things aside from just sit in one place and drink 14% beer for an afternoon.
Well, they're no fun.
I know, right? But a highlight was a beer called Bubble Wrap from the Vale, other half Weldworks, side project, and Angry Chair. You know, it's just five threads of barrel-aged stout blended with no adjuncts, so that was delicious. And then I had a wheat wine called Holographic Universe Extended Age that spent 40 months in Willett bourbon barrels. So that was absolutely delicious. So, yeah, really talk about an embarrassment of riches within walking distance. I ain't bad.
Right? That sounds super fancy.
Yeah, you should go do that, Josh.
Do what?
Jeff? I said you should go do that.
I should, but I didn't. Yeah. But I did.
Which you
not, not during their anniversary weekend. So, actually went and hung out with Wells, and I think what I'm going to do is kind of split this over a couple of recordings because I took copious amounts of notes. This was kind of like beer vacation, I guess, or beercation. Jeff and I, we talked about planning beercation. So we'll just start off with Friday. Friday, you know, we get in off the train. Tired, but not like too bad. It's rainy as all get out in Richmond, but there is a little dive bar not too far from where Wells is staying at. And Jeff, this was the first time I ever had Zombie Dust on tap.
Boy, that's a good time, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, other than the fact that the glass was chilled, that was a little upsetting, but
did you, when you got your second one, and I'm assuming you did, when you got your second one, did you just say like, can I get a non-chilled glass?
I should have actually asked for it, but they were so slam packed. I didn't want to be that asshole.
Yeah. Don't be that guy. Like, it's not, you know, like it's like a lot of things, you know, okay, maybe this isn't the preferred proper way to drink, but like when somebody brings me a frosted fishbowl that is filled with Surly Darkness barrel aged, like I'm not going to correct them on it. I'm just going to say thank you. I'm very excited to have this beer.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, you know, just flat out just having Zombie Dust on tap, which kind of crazy to think about, but not right, because it's not like I've been to Indiana or ever really, probably, well, maybe Dark Lord Day, but other than that, like probably don't ever really have any plans on going there. So I don't know how easy it would be to get that on tap if I'm not at Three Floyds. I'm sure like Chicago probably, but
yeah. I mean, you know, you can find it if you're looking for it.
Yeah.
I mean, but then at the same time, you know, if you're in that general area, you might as well just go to the tap room. So,
yeah, exactly. So that was kind of like the first night, and we didn't really do anything after that. And then, of course, the second day we wake up and we get to go to the Vale. And I got
Buddy.
Oh, we did go to a beer store too. What is it? Cork and Keg, right?
Yeah, Corks and okay. Kegs. We Corks and Kegs. Basically picked you up and we went right there.
Yeah. They had a crazy, crazy selection. And, you know, that's always that fun part, right? I'm out of town. Mm-hmm. What can I get that I would never see? Like Bissell Brothers was just there. Yeah. Jeff, fun fact, Divine Barrel is there.
Huh.
Yep.
Okay. Interesting.
But none of their hoppy stuff, which really bugs me.
Well, but at the same time, like, you know, it's always been my frustration when we get like Bissell Brothers comes into Charlotte or Trillium or whatever, like, especially when they don't stay, it's always these like hoppy beers that were already 6 months old when they hit the market. Like Pipeworks was another bad one. I was like, oh, cool. We've got Unicorn versus Ninja. Oh, dang, it's 6 months old. Never mind.
Yeah.
You know, or it's always the pale ale. Like in my mind, it's always the hoppy beer that doesn't move. And that disappoints me more than, you know, not seeing any hoppy beer, I guess.
Yeah, which, I mean, I did see tons of hoppy beer. Like I said, there was some Bissell Brothers stuff in there. There was, what else did I see in there? Like, it was one of those things where I knew everybody was kind of in a hurry because I probably could have spent 30 minutes just looking around that store, honestly.
Yes.
Like, almost overwhelming with all the stuff. So, kind of reverse order. We do that first. Then we go to the little dive bar that isn't far from where Wells is. And then another beer that we had there was from Ardent, and it was a Earl Grey beer.
This was the Earl Grey brown ale. It's pretty good. Pretty tasty.
Okay. Wait, Earl Grey brown?
Yep.
Brown ale.
Brown ale made with Earl Grey tea. It was really fucking good. I was surprised too. I was like, wait, huh? What? It worked. I don't know what about it worked, but it worked. So then, flash forward, Saturday, we go to the Vale. The Vale is the Vale, right? Like, I don't know that there's an easy way to explain this other than it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. I wasn't disappointed. I wasn't super excited. I walked in like, I'm going to have some amazing fucking beers. I had some amazing fucking beers. Uh-huh. Had I had it my way, we would have stayed there all day, but I got, you know, we wanted to move around. Yeah, I really don't know what else to say. Like,
so,
the Vale is the Vale.
You know, like, so I know the Vale mostly through their hazy IPAs. Occasionally there will be a West Coast style. I've seen a lot of like hazy triple IPAs. I know they make stouts, but what surprised you the most when you were at the Vale?
So they had not a bunch, but they had like three or four lagers, and the wife got a couple of them and absolutely loved them. I tried a couple of sips of them and was thoroughly impressed with them.
Nice.
Like just a clean, normal, not adjuncted crazy lagers, just straight up lagers and pilsners, which,
you know,
for the Vale, you're like, whoa, that's crazy.
Well, and so the reason I say that is I think for us, for our impression of the Vale, like our expectation is going to be that it's going to be all this other stuff, right? Because that's what gets sent to the market.
Yep.
Like I know
you're right.
It would be interesting for people from Richmond that are seeing Divine Barrel and only seeing their non hoppy stuff. I'm sure a lot of it is Berliners, you know, like the cobblers and other sours.
Yep.
But then they come here and it's like, oh, wow, there's all these West Coast IPAs. This is pretty great. You know, I mean, it's interesting that, you know, like what, again, I feel like a lot of what gets pushed into further out distro is the stuff that has sat around a little more, which is a shame, but at least they're selling it. But that also doesn't give a great impression of or a great vision of what the brewery actually wants to do.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, like, of course, they had two rows of hazy and West Coast and everything else IPAs, but they had, you know, they had it kind of like set up on projectors that were mounted behind the bar. So, you know, like one screen, I guess, if you would want to call it that, was kind of dedicated to all the IPAs and all that stuff. And then they had another screen that had their pilsners and their, you know, stouts and everything else. And I think they had even a couple of like ciders and like maybe even a rosé on tap, if I remember right.
Yep, that seems about right.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun fact, that's the first ever brewery t-shirt I have owned in my life.
What?
Wow. I've never actually, well, no, I'm sorry. I take that back. I have owned one other one, Asheville Brewing.
That's the Ninja Porter?
Yep. No. The Draft Punk.
Oh.
Yeah. That was a good shirt, though.
Yeah, it was. That is the only other brewery shirt I have ever owned in my entire life. Everything else, I mean, I've got beer-related shirts, but nothing like actual, you know, it says this brewery, like Asheville Brewing or The Vale. So,
yeah.
After that, and I'll try to keep these fairly quick because we weren't at, is it Vossen, right, Wells? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So it was like a couple of blocks away, gotten a little windy. So I guess one other thing I'll do really quickly is kind of compare the tap rooms. So The Vale reminded me, I guess, I don't know if there's really anybody in town that it reminded me of, to be honest, but Vossen reminded me a lot of Lenny Boy in the way that it looked on the inside and had a bunch of natural light and the vibes in there. It was really packed, though, so we were one and done at that one. And then last stop is we went to Ardent, and Ardent had a tincture beer on tap, you know, the THC tinctures that we've had a few times.
I mean, the terpene?
Or terpene, yeah. Not tincture, sorry. Terpene. Didn't get the terpene burps this time, like I did last time. That one reminded me a lot like Birdsong and Noda kind of had a baby. Ardent okay. did, but they had That's some really good beers in there. We had Ralph. Now that I think about it, I had Ralph at The Vale, which was a collab that they did with Ardent. Didn't see the point in getting it at Ardent because it's the same damn beer. But
but it tastes different at the other side.
Right. Exactly. So we'll end Josh's adventures there. We've got more to talk about, but I don't want to.
All right. So the big question is, from those places you went that you have described, mm-hmm. how much of it did you bring back?
So I didn't bring back a ton because, you know, you're on a train, right? So if I drove, it might be a different story, but because I'm checking a bag that's got a weight limit to it, I really didn't bring back a ton of beer.
Lame.
Yeah, I know. I brought back a few things. Wells and I are actually drinking one of them right now.
I see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's hazy shit. You would want it.
Correct.
Although I did bring back some Falcon Smash for us, Jeff. We've never done Falcon Smash before.
We haven't?
Nope. Really? I looked on the list.
All right.
So
I feel like we had some Falcon beer.
Double Falcon.
Double Falcon. There you go. All right. Well, I know how much you love your Smash beer, so that tracks.
That's right. All right. So into the news. Are you gents familiar with Hog Island Brewing? Mm-mm. Ever heard of them? Nope. Ever heard of Mayflower Brewing?
No, but that feels like a Plymouth Rock kind of place.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, anyways, those two companies have merged.
Okay.
I know. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know who either of these places are. Wells, do you?
I don't.
Okay.
And I'm just reading this sheet. We got Mayflower Brewing Company founded in 2007, and then Hog Island is what, 2000? I can't see.
I mean, I have to assume that I have to assume, you know, I feel like we've talked about this. This feels like we're going to see more and more of this kind of stuff.
Yes.
You know, I think beer demand is dropping. We've been talking about that for a while. I think beer is going to get more expensive. I think it's going to be harder for two small places to succeed on their own.
Yep.
And so becoming like one slightly larger is a lot better option than getting gobbled up by somebody that's just going to shudder you anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's better than, you know, it's better than closing outright.
Yeah.
Or private equity buying you and running you into the ground.
Sure.
Yeah. Strip you for parts. Use you as a tax write-off. Leave your barren husk on the side of the road as you rode off to the next place that you're going to destroy.
Exactly. So yeah, kind of along with those lines, the more mergers are happening. Again, two places I'd never heard of. We have Fort Point Beer Company and Hen House Brewing are merging. Again, gentlemen, any idea of either of these?
Man, I feel like I've heard the name Hen House. Where did that... Okay, no, I don't want to sign in. Yes, I have my ad blocker turned on. All right, fine, whatever. I'm not going to. Hen House is... Are they in California, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think I remember seeing them at various tap rooms when I was there for Pliny weekend. A couple different places we went to. They were just, you know, like one of the local on taps. Don't know that I had them, though, so...
Yeah, I'm busy looking through to see if I've ever had anything from Hen House, and I don't think I have.
This is the real problem of doing a remote show when we can just sit in front of our computers and look at stuff. I have not had any myself, but oh yeah, Santa Rosa. Okay, yeah, that tracks. Yeah, again, I remember seeing them, and I remember it having kind of moderate to lukewarm, you know, like... Nobody was really familiar with them, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? Like they just weren't
right.
The crazy, you know, like you're like, do we go to a sports bar that has Hen House, or, you know, do we go back to, you know, Russian River? It's like, well, that's not really fair, but okay, here we go. Let's.
Yep. Nothing for me.
All right.
Just don't get out to San Francisco that often. So
no.
No. In fact, the last time I was even in California was probably 2007 for work. It's not like I was getting out and about and doing anything fun.
Yeah. Well, this is going to make them the fifth largest brewery in Northern California. So.
And here we go again. Goody. You know, I mean, I'd rather see this than the other way around. And it's going to be weird, I think, for us for a while, because I think this will become the trend. And it just makes a lot of financial sense. And it'll be a lot of breweries that we're not familiar with, because they're just, you know, like if you are an other half or a veil, you know, somebody that has become successful enough to push your product to the Charlotte market on a regular basis, it doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense for you to merge with someone else unless you're just managing your business that poorly. This is going to be a lot of places that, you know, like if we were talking to somebody, we're like, oh yeah, so, you know, Lenny Boy and Hopfly merged, and people would be like, who, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, they're really good, you know, but you, outside of the area, you know, you may not know them as well. And so we'll see a lot of this. And then, you know, a few years down the road when things kind of normalize and get better, because it'll come back as everything does. We'll be reporting about, oh, and, you know, these two breweries that had merged are now, you know, going off their own separate ways. And it'll be great. It'll be great.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully you're right. Which, speaking of bad things, Tilray, bad. Doing bad things. Jeff, I know you spent a lot of time in the Pacific Northwest. Did you ever run into Hop Valley Brewing at all?
I don't believe so. That one did. I when I saw the article, it did not ring a bell. I'm not saying that, you know. Well, let's see. We had one. Oh, here we go. We had a couple beers from them on episode 303, Bubble Stash and Cryo Stash.
All right. Well, Tilray is ceasing production on the brewery.
Let's see here. Sometimes
Hop Valley will no longer exist.
Bubble Stash, I didn't care for, but YouTube bought it. cryo stash. We all bought it and Josh tapped it. So,
okay.
But that was also 2019.
Yeah, so, true.
Little time has passed.
Just a little.
Yeah, man, that just sucks. You know, Tilroy will move the brewing of Hop Valley's beers somewhere else. You know, yep. This is and I feel like every time that, you know, Tilroy or anybody else comes along and acquires a brewery and they send out the, oh, everything's going to stay the same. And I feel like we are a broken record where we consistently say, yeah, it's all going to be fine for now. Things are going to change. And then they do. And we just, it's just the big suck.
It is. And it's, you know, I hate using this term because it really is the term, but it's the enchantification of all this that, you know, like a Tilray, which isn't necessarily private equity, but kind of is.
Yeah.
They get a hold of this stuff and they start just playing with spreadsheets basically and going, oh, these numbers don't make sense anymore. Let's get rid of these people.
Okay. But then at the same time, like, not that I'm advocating for Tilray shuttering facilities like this, but, you know, it's one thing when you're merging, because at least then you've got, you know, some kind of output. It probably doesn't make sense for them, like you said, Josh, that to look at a spreadsheet and say, and realize how much it costs to make the beer at Hop Valley in Eugene, Oregon, versus this other place where they've got enough capacity to just absorb it. Now, the trade-off there feels like, you know, you've got to make sure that you're then brewing it in a place that's close enough to the home location, if you will. So, like, you know, Eugene is just south of Portland. And if you're going to move all of your, let's just say they move all of the production to like Texas, you've still got to get it back to Eugene if you expect the locals to continue to buy it. Right. So,
yep.
Although I'm sure that's still part of the calculus that goes into whether or not they want to make that choice. It's part of their Project 420 strategic plan. Cool. Glad you guys are. This may be a hot take here, and I may regret saying this, but I'm almost starting to feel like Tilray is the Tesla of beer right now.
Starting to feel that way.
Lot of big talk, a lot of meme shit, and then you start looking at what they're doing, and it's like, I don't like any of this. I don't know. That's probably unfair.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
Just yeah, definitely starting to feel that way. They've got a little bit further to go before they can reach Tesla levels.
Well, one thing I forgot is that they snapped up a bunch of that stuff for Miller, like Breckenridge Brewing and Red Hook and Widmer and 10 Barrel and all that shit.
Yeah. Because they already had Terrapin and... Is that right? No. No, they picked up Terrapin as part of that whole deal.
Yep.
Oof. Yeah, here I thought Tilray was going to be the solution to craft beer woes, and instead they're more... Anyway, I'm not making that joke.
All right, last but not least, Mr. Wells, I'll kick this one over to you. What's going on with the Brewers Association?
All right, so it is time for the Brewers Association, which if you've listened to the show longer than... No,
a year,
couple. Well, yeah, I guess we talk about them not as often as we used to, but right. They are the trade association that you know, looks out for small and independent American craft brewers, and they put out an annual report. Here's exactly how craft beer is doing, how the industry as a whole is faring, and what production numbers look like. So we're looking at, in terms of craft breweries, production volume is down 4% from 2023, but craft beer market share remains flat. But the U.S. beer market has declined by 1.2%. So employment continues to increase. We're at a 3% employment increase. and retail dollar value for craft beer, woof, $28.9 billion, which is a 3% increase. So, yeah, congratulations to all the breweries that managed to survive from the 2024 report, or from 2023 report, 2024 to now, because, and, you know, here's hoping a lot of our favorites can continue to, I don't know, survive into the new year.
Yeah, hopefully. Is there any breweries you want to talk about in particular that were in the top 50?
Top 50. Well, Athletic continues to climb in terms of the top 50 craft brewing companies by volume. Athletic is coming in at number 8.
Yeah, that was crazy to me.
Other ones that I think are kind of surprising. Honestly, it was surprising for me to see Freem at number 40 and Fremont at 41, Russian River at 44. Russian River, not so much, but definitely I didn't realize that Freem and Fremont were that big.
Yeah, hey, look Freem at Georgetown.
Freem does a ton of distro in the Pacific Northwest. Everywhere that I would go, I would see their cans. You know, it's not an unpleasant sight, I promise you that.
I don't doubt it. Also interesting is the New Glarus Brewing Company in at number 12. Keep in mind, New Glarus only does distro in one state, Wisconsin.
Yep. And like I was just saying, like Georgetown Brewing out of Seattle, they are 14. I didn't realize they were that big.
No, I didn't either. Although Scott has been teasing me over the last couple of days. He's been getting some pretty crazy Georgetown collabs. And I'm like, okay, but like, when are they coming this way? If you know what I mean.
And I had to look. I didn't realize, maybe we talked about this and I just forgot that it happened. But Barrel One Collective is Harpoon, Smutty Nose, Long Trail, Five Burrows. It's like a bunch of fucking Clown Shoes. I mean, you name it. It's a bunch of these little breweries.
All those put together makes sense why they'd be 13th. Who's who owns New Belgium now?
Oh God, who owns them now?
Right, because it, like, you know, they were always selling. They were, you know, like supposedly like super high on the sales list for all the Voodoo Ranger stuff. I can't remember who owns. You know what? If only I'm sitting in front.
If only there was some sort of device.
Let's see here. Fat Tire, New Belgium, Kieran. So they're probably not going to show up at all if Kieran owns them. So that explains that. Never mind. Okay. Just the things that kind of cross your mind as you're going through reading this. I mean, it's neat to see, like, I love the fact that the combo of Maui Brewing and Modern Times is now called Craft Ohana.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a great name.
Locally, so we've got the Artisanal Brewing Ventures, which is that joint conglomeration with Victory, Southern Tier, Six Point, all those guys. Listed as having their headquarters in Charlotte. I'm looking at the last year's entry in the top 50 overall brewing companies. They were coming in at number 17 in last year's list, and this year slipping four spots to number 21. That's about as much research as I'm going to do today.
Fair enough.
I'm just glad you did the homework.
I mean, it is interesting to always look at these lists and just kind of see, like I said, I had no idea Georgetown was that big, to come in that high. I had no clue. But you have the old usuals up top. You expect, you've got Yuengling number one, Boston Beer number two, Sierra Nevada number three. So like, that's really probably never going to change. Well, I shouldn't say never, right? At some point that'll change, but. And, you know, we've had numerous arguments about should Yuengling and Boston Beer even be on this list. Yeah. That's for another day. Because now you've got companies like Tilray and everybody else on here too. So Monster Brewing, of course. Like, what?
Oh, well, but again, I mean, this.
I know. But
when you've, you know, when you have the ability to buy your way into, you know, a list, so to speak. I mean, you know, okay, so, you know, granted, this is the BA Brewers Association. This is, you know, an important list, but it's not like, you know, Monster doesn't get something for being 10th. They're just on the list as number 10.
But, yeah,
you know, that's true. They're, it's Monster Brewing, but I mean, let's be real. It was Monster Energy Drink that decided to start dabbling with brewing, and always feels like the Jurassic Park syndrome, right? Like, they didn't really learn how to do all this. They just bought the technology. And, you know, there's no rule against it.
Definitely don't know how to maintain it once they acquire it.
Yeah, you could argue that for a lot of them.
Yup. All right. Any other thought? Are we ready for break?
Sure.
I'm ready for break.
All right. We'll be back in 30. Really wish there was a way to pause Craig. That would be nice.
Damn it, Craig.
All right, I guess we could do buy no buy whenever you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, Mr. Wells, it's time for buy no buy. How does that work?
Well, it's going to work a little bit differently because we've been drinking beer throughout the course of the show, and it's not the same beer as we normally would be doing if it was in person, but we're going to tell you about what we've been drinking, what we're sip it on, what we think of it in the simplest possible way. Would we buy it or would we not buy it? Jeff, why don't you start us off?
Yeah. So, you know, as mentioned earlier, got a new keg of Did It All for the Wookiee. So I'm drinking Did It All for the Wookiee. I'm here to tell you that not only would I buy it, I did buy it. And not only would I tap it, I did tap that.
Nice.
Wells.
Surprise, surprise, I am drinking something from the Vale, courtesy of Josh. Assuming we are both drinking the Doom volume.
That is correct.
A nice little 6-point-something% hazy IPA, and man, I just can't read the fine text against this label. It's also dim.
That is absolutely one of my biggest gripes with the Vale.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's really good, and I absolutely would buy this and drink this again. So that's a buy for me. Josh, what you doing?
Yeah, same thing. So as well said, we're both drinking the Doom volume. I bought a 4-pack of this when we went back, which I'll be talking about on the next episode of part 2 of Josh's beer journey, because boy, howdy, do I have some stories for you.
I can't wait.
Boy, howdy. This was packaged, I had to look, in this month, so April. It looks like the 5th, so, I mean, that's what you get when you go to the horse. You get to drink right from the horse's teat. No, wait, I have that wrong. No, I know. But no, this is really good. Jeff, you'd hate this. You'd absolutely fucking hate this beer. I have zero doubt you would know by this thing in a heartbeat.
It's fair.
It's really that good. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Kind of glad that I bought a 4-pack and I still have 2 of these to drink.
Nice. Well, it was nice that you brought yourself something back.
That's right. Hey, I brought you a Falcon Smash.
Oh, okay. Cool, cool.
Other than that, the only other stuff would have been hazy stuff anyways. Like, you're really, really wouldn't like the next one that we're going to have.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you know, It is interesting talking with a local bottle purveyor, and even he's starting to notice that some of the hazy sales aren't moving quite as much as they used to. There's starting to be a little more interest in West Coast stuff. And I'm like, okay.
Which, cool. You know, I will give it to the Vale. They did have a handful of West Coast IPAs. I did try one. Those are really good.
They're actually pretty good. I think you would like them because it's... a lot of what you get out of West Coast, but you're like, yes, this is absolutely a Vail beer. Like, so all of that stuff you like about the Vail, it's all there. It's pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jeff, we're tuning the show. Where are we at?
Come check us out on the interwebs. Go to craftbeercast.com and find links to old episodes if you want to listen to those. And the auto poster is broken right now, so it's not getting posted to Twitter and Facebook like it should. I think I'm just going to have to rip it all out and start over from scratch. But that's okay. We'll figure it out. Meanwhile, if you want to get in touch with us, hit us up. Contact at craftbeercast.com on email. Wells, can they find you anywhere?
They can find me on Instagram at all the wells. Josh, where can they find you?
Besides right here, hit up our subreddit /r/craftbeercast. Don't forget to rate, review us on your podcatcher of choice. Don't forget to tell a friend, tell somebody you've been listening to us for all these years. We are slowly but surely marching towards episode 600. I always thought 500 was a big deal, which I can't believe we're getting that close to six. Fucking crazy. But other than that, we'll talk to y'all next Thursday.